Christian Hinduism sounds mutually exclusive, yet it is in the church. What is it, and how did it get there?
Did you know that Jesus was born again? I asked the first service, and he said no.
Did you know that Jesus was born again? See, they teach that Jesus died spiritually in hell, ceased to be God, and had to be born again. He had to get saved. This is heresy. If there was ever a time in which Jesus was not God, if he ceased to be God, dear friends, then Jesus never was God to begin with.
Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of a boat in the middle of a life-threatening storm. He was sleeping because the world he was living in had no storm. He was living in a realm of kingdom reality. He was actually living in a realm called peace. When they woke him up, he stood and looked at the storm, and it says he released peace over the storm. Now, how did he release peace? Because he had it to give. We know he had it because he slept in the storm. So you can only give away what you have. Can God give away sickness? No, he's not sick. Does God ever choose not to heal? No. God chose 2,000 years ago to make a purchase. Now, I bought a new car last fall, and I've got 10,000 miles on it. I wrote a check. I paid for it. Now, what if I went back to the dealer and said, I've decided not to buy the car? He's going to laugh at me. He's going to say, you can park it, you can burn it, you can sell it, you can give it, you can drive it over a cliff, but you can't decide not to buy it because you already bought it. How can you decide not to buy what you've already paid for? He does not decide not to heal people today. The decision 2,000 years ago was to heal. Either the payment was sufficient for all sin or no sin. Either the payment was sufficient for all sickness or no sickness. Healing and forgiveness work in tandem throughout the scripture. You will find them in the same phrase consistently because it was the basic same payment that headed to the cross, the stripes that he bore, the blood that he shed that dealt with sickness as well as forgiveness.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today you'll hear part two of a story we first aired last week. We'll continue with the story of the parents who lost their daughter 7 years ago to a ministry in Redding, California. That discussion continues this hour. Later in this broadcast, co-host Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi will join Jan to analyze this story. Here now is Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. This is part two of a two-part series where we are talking about, we're talking about Bethel Church, Redding, California, because I have back in studio with me Dirk and Joan Miller, who lost a daughter to Bethel, and yes, that's the way I worded it. They lost a daughter to Bethel Church, Redding, California, because she kind of got mind numbed out there. They use a lot of tactics, including the SOZO counseling, a SOZO deliverance, they might call it. You can look that up online. We really can't go and revisit that whole topic again. It's a form of deliverance. It's a form of regressing memories. It's a branch of theophostic counseling and sort of inner healing. However, in the process of all of that, the daughter of Dirk and Joan Miller was convinced that she had been abused by her parents. Bethel convinced her of that, and Dirk and Joan went out many times to try to get Caitlin back. That was not possible. So, Dirk and Joan, thank you for coming back in the studio again this week. And, Joan, you know, we were talking a little bit off air. This happened in 2011, and you spent the better part of 3 years literally crying over all of this, and I'm sure you still are.
I am. That's true. I couldn't sleep at night. I'd wake up every hour, and my first thought would be, Lord Jesus, Katie, please speak to her. I guess I felt like I had a really close relationship with her because of the many trips to Mayo, which was 90 miles away. And it was just such a shock. And really, we couldn't understand it at all. When I think about her, it's a physical pain. It hurts so much. And we love her, and we have been told that we have emotionally disowned her, we have abused her, we have disinherited her. It's just so bizarre. And, you know, where do they get all that? No one there really knows us. Nobody talked to us. Nobody talked to any of her siblings. They just made all this stuff up and got her to believe it. It's terrifying, actually.
People have written Caitlin essentially twice a month or almost every week for all these years.
From your family, siblings, others.
Siblings, uncles, aunts, grandma.
Many of those, as we said last week, many of those have actually flown out there or driven out there to try to, and you have as well many times, and they just, it's not possible to reach her.
But we have no idea what she got and didn't get, but likely she didn't get a lot of it. The communications. Yes.
We talked about some of the tactics that Bethel uses, from fire tunnels to love bombing. We talked extensively last week about the Sozo counseling, which I already referenced. It's a kind of a version of theophostic counseling, and you folks feel that this is where she got, in a sense, programmed to believe that you were very abusive parents. And I think you would acknowledge that she really believes you have abused her. Is that right?
Oh, I think so. I think that she probably very sincerely believes that.
Yeah. The few times we saw her, she acted like she was afraid of us, and we couldn't figure out why. But now, having talked to some people that understand mind control, and having read, you know, talked to Steve Hassan, who is an international expert, and Dr. Elizabeth Loftus, and we are fairly certain that that's exactly what they did. They used common mind control
techniques to introduce
techniques
thinking.
Give her false memories.
Yeah.
And it's really easy to do, according to the experts and lots of scientific studies that have been done. It's been proven in court. And 92% of the kids afflicted or affected by this are young Caucasian women in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
From mid to upper middle class families.
Well, you related some incidences in last week's programming that were, I think, stunning. I think most listeners have no idea. I played some clips as well, and I believe that what's going on, particularly in some of the services where you've got the writhing and the groaning and the rolling on the floor, etc., would be Kundalini-type activity that's out of India. It's Hinduism. I think that this is a version of Christian Hinduism going on at Bethel. And by the way, I know they're hearing this program, and I know they'll reach out to me and contact me, and I'd be happy to talk to them about these various issues. But you also relayed an experience to me, because you went out there a number of times, and you related the actual graduation service to me. Both of you talked to me about it, but someone paid, apparently Caitlin was able to pay $2,500 a year for the School of Supernatural Ministry. 3 years she went, I believe, 3 years, and then she actually graduated. You got to the graduation service, which that in itself is rather unusual, that parents are allowed to come to the graduation and get into the auditorium. Am I right there?
Well,
there were a lot of parents there.
Yeah, we just felt, hey, you'll go to a kid's graduation and celebrate a milestone for them, and that's something we
so
wanted to
do. So you weren't invited to come to the graduation.
No. We were hoping that maybe she would be delivered, that set free from this control once she was finally done with these classes.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, we still didn't really understand how this recovered memory, Sozo, theophostic, whatever you want to call it, we just didn't really get it. And we got there, and it was very painful. She was clearly afraid of us.
She was afraid of us, but we went down and said hello, and she was sitting between a couple of individuals, and she introduced those two individuals to us as, these are two individuals that keep me safe.
They take care of me.
They take care of me. And thought that was unusual, but it was just a very unusual event. So then during the ceremony,
even before that, went out there with one of her sisters. She has three sisters. And we ran out to get a drink of water and saw the woman that Caitlin had been living with and had been having great influence in her life, one of the women. And she looked at us and said, "Does Caitlin know you're here?" And we said yes, because by that point we'd been down and said hello to her, and she agreed to go with us after the graduation to have a piece of pie and coffee or something. We watched her run across that auditorium floor straight up to Caitlin and stand there nose to nose, talking so fast, just staring into her eyes. And it looked to us like she was trying to get control back. She did not want Caitlin to have anything to do with us. But that's exactly what they did. That 10 times people, family and friends tried to see her, mostly family. She would initially, if they could get somehow get her word that they were in the state, a couple cousins went out there, and Caitlin either never responded or she responded and said, I can't wait to see you. And then the day they were supposed to meet, or a couple days before, she email or text them and say, I don't have time to see you. I can't see you. Her one uncle drove to California with his wife, her aunt and uncle. They got a hold of her. He actually talked to her. He said she seemed very sweet. She seemed like Katie. These were very close aunt and uncle that stayed with us every year, all the years she was growing up. And she couldn't wait to see them the next morning for breakfast. And that morning they got a text from her saying, I can't see you. And we're fairly certain that was whoever at Bethel not giving her permission to see her family.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio and Jan Markell, and this is kind of part two of a two-part series. We're talking about Bethel Church, Redding, California, Pastor Bill Johnson, and we spent a lot of time last week talking Dirk and Joan here, Miller, about their daughter Caitlin, or Katie, who was lost to Bethel, and they've been actually trying to reach her since 2011 with various trips out there, various kinds of communication to get her back, which at this point has not been possible. If you have issues, questions, and you'd like to reach out to Dirk and Joan, would you email them joel3.16b at outlook.com. Again, joel3.16b. at outlook.com. They'd be happy to answer your questions, perhaps give you a bit of counsel based on what they've gone through. And I want to morph just a little bit here into the graduation service that you folks did attend, because Katie went for, I believe, 3 years to the School of Supernatural Ministry. We explained last weekend that you actually talked to a pastor or two, including Bill Johnson, who did kind of push you away and told you to talk to someone else. You got nowhere in talking with anybody in leadership at Bethel, is my understanding anyway. You were able to get to the graduation service, which was actually held in sort of a civic auditorium. And you saw Katie, and she was rigid, as she often was when you would see her. Did you see any of the issues that are kind of prominent in Bethel type setting, the gold dust that supposedly happens, the glory cloud that Bill Johnson talks about frequently, glory cloud, and he shows what's going on up in the ceiling area, gold dust, feathers. Did you see anything like that?
No, not there.
You said you heard about it.
We heard about it, and multiple times, actually. But, you know, people found jewels in their pockets when they were worshiping and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of people that were not, you know, parents and friends. The music that day was actually tolerable.
Okay, because Dirk had said earlier that the music is one of the methods used to break sort of
part of
the process. Explain that, Dirk.
Well, the different services that we went to all contained a worship time.
Yes.
That, frankly, was mind-numbing. You could really hardly understand the words. The decibels were so loud that they offered earplugs at the door.
They did.
And it would go on for an hour, 2 hours, long time. That is numbing to your thinking process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Lord says, take every thought captive. And it's kind of hard to do that if you're doing a repetitive chorus over and over and over. And it's so loud you can't hardly hear yourself or think. So that just is another thing that numbs the ability for a person to think clearly.
So Bill Johnson comes out then, Pastor Johnson comes out as a part of this service. He came out to the platform, and what happened?
This was at the graduation.
At the graduation. Mm.
The kids went nuts. They leaped to their feet and were screaming, waving their arms in the air. And then
they rushed to the stage
and stood there. Really, they were praising Bill Johnson. It was creepy. And then one of the men started to pray, and he thanked the Lord for Bill Johnson and Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Just the order that he prayed of mentioning Bill first.
Pastor Johnson, by his own words here, I'm going to play a short clip, it's less than a minute, says he wants to export all of this around the world.
We're exporters. I don't ever want to change that. But my heart burns to be able to say, you know what, let's experiment at home. Let's get it working. Let's get the wrinkles ironed out of this thing. And let's get a model that can be duplicated anywhere in the world. And let's get that model. And it's not American culture, it's revival culture. And let's take it somewhere. And let's plant it. Let's plant it through Jesus culture. Let's plant it through the music we write. Let's plant it through the conferences that we do, the conferences that we bring in people for, so that what gets modeled makes Jesus famous and really brings his presence into culture, into the environment.
What do you think about when you hear that? Let's export this to the whole world.
Well, from what we saw at the graduation, so much acclaim to Bill, and he didn't deflect it at all to Jesus.
He took a sword and he sort of knighted.
He does that.
What is that all about? I've not seen that.
I was reading something another pastor wrote online. I didn't even get his name, but he had apparently been part of that. And he said he was pretty convinced that when Bill was doing that, he was imparting evil spirits to those kids. Mm. And he was anointing them for who knows what. I don't know. You know, at one point years ago, somebody showed me a picture of him doing that to Caitlin.
Well, as I said last week, I talked a little bit last week about the New Apostolic Reformation, or the NAR, and I did indicate that there are some Pentecostal churches that are not in agreement with what we're talking about at all. So this has not been any kind of an attack against the charismatic movement or against, for instance, Assemblies of God. I believe Bethel Church used to be the first Assembly of God of Redding, California, and something simply has gone haywire. Obviously, our independent and on their own at this point in time. But the New Apostolic Reformation, and I spent some time last weekend talking about C. Peter Wagner and how he got this started some 20 years ago and goes by various other names. It deals a lot with the Seven Mountain Mandate. They talk about a great end time harvest, which I believe is only in the tribulation. Again, I know that Bethel is influencing a lot of churches, not only across the country, but literally around the world. And all we've tried to do last week and this week, folks, is to sort of sound the alarm in case any of you have a similar experience or you know of someone who might have had a similar experience. Dirk, I'm going to ask you to wrap things up again, just as you did last week, because you did that so effectively.
The Lord has really been laying on our hearts that he wants to raise up a standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Lord would raise up a standard. Obviously, it has to be the Lord's doing. And we'd like to invite any families. I'm sure there are many grieving families out there just like we are, that we could all unite together in intercession for each other and for the loved ones that we're each praying for. The Bible talks a lot about crying out to the Lord and he will hear us. Two scriptures that have really been on our hearts that we could start with would be Isaiah 42:22. The Lord is grieving over Israel, saying, this is a people that is robbed and they are captive in holes, and they're in prison houses, as if someone threw the key away and forgot about them. And then it says, but none saith deliver, and none saith restore. And I just find myself saying, well, I'll say deliver, I'll say restore. And I'd like somebody to say it with us.
Folks, you can do that. Here's a good way to do it, is to write Dirk and Joan, and you can probably unite your hearts, at least in prayer. Joel 3:16b at outlook.com. Again, Joel 3:16b at outlook.com. This has been a tough couple of... We did a full program last weekend. We're doing part of this weekend's program. It's been a tough couple of weeks. And any of you who have gone through the loss of a child through natural causes, accidents, or cult-like activity, I'm sure you can understand how painful this is. You're both very brave to come in and talk about this. And I think you're both still optimistic that Caitlin's coming home, right?
I have to confess, Dirk has been the rock. Mm-hmm. He's been going, has God ever failed us in 45 years of marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the answer is no. But I confess, I have been really hopeless a lot of times, and I miss her so much.
Sure.
It's crazy. But I want Katie to know we love her. We never disowned her. We love her. She's still part of our family. She told her sister when she left, I'm still a Miller girl. The kids have been, you know, surfing the internet to find pictures for our Christmas cards so we can put a picture of Katie on our Christmas card, because she is still our daughter. Mm-hmm. She is part of our family, and we love her, and we'd really love to get back together.
I want to thank you both for coming in. Very powerful testimony that you have. Folks, I'm coming back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
We hope you're challenged by what you're hearing today. You may want to share this two-part story with others. To obtain recordings of both weekend programs, please call our order line, 763-559-4444. Again, to order this two-part series, phone 763-559-4444. Remember, our annual Understanding the Times conference is scheduled for September 29th. This year's conference at Grace Church in Eden Prairie is a ticketed event. For full conference tickets and ordering information, log on to olivetreeviews.org. For those unable to attend our September event in person, it will be streamed live from our website, olivetreeviews.org. We invite you to partner with us to help maintain this program on your radio station. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
In today's world, who do you trust for good insight on current events? For that matter, who do you trust for good Bible commentary? America is full of fake news and false teaching. That's why we want to offer you an alternative to both. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, and our main objective is to tell you the truth about current events as they relate to a biblical worldview. Join us each week on this station for a source you can trust.
Understanding the Times 2018 is not that far away, Saturday, September 29th, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Please note the earlier starting time. There are still tickets available. For $10, $15, and $20, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, and go to conferences or contact brushfire.com. I'll give you an 800 number as soon as you get a pencil and paper. Don't miss the like-minded fellowship as well, as our cutting-edge speakers include Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor J.D. Farag, Pastor Billy Crone, Eric Barger, and Amir Sarfati. Headlines today are a harbinger of his return. We'll unpack that Saturday, September 29th. Learn to be a watchman on the wall. We live in challenging times, but things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place. Learn how at Understanding the Times 2018. For tickets, order online or call Brushfire at 888-338-5338. That's 888-338-5338. The conference will be live streamed on our website, olivetreeviews.org, at no cost. This is Jan Markell. Many Christian leaders avoid the topics of our day, but here on this program, we hit them head on. The times demand we address the hard issues and bring a biblical viewpoint into focus. Thanks for joining us.
There's a third element, though, thrown in there is the word poverty. In the word evil in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, where it says, deliver us from evil, the word comes from the word pain. And the word pain actually comes from the root word poor. So the brushstroke of God's redemption was to wipe out the root of sin, the root of illness, and the root of poverty. So does he choose not to? You'll know. He chose to do it a long time ago.
Coming up next, Understanding the Times continues to analyze what you've been hearing over these past two programs. Jan's joined now by Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi. To lead the conversation, once again, Jan Markell.
And welcome back. And joining me now to finish off our programming are my frequent radio co-hosts, Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi. Both are skilled in apologetics. Jill is the daughter of Dr. Walter Martin. And without all the information in part one, I just want to clarify here that this is a two-part series. It might be a little bit complicated for you to pick up everything. The part one was aired last weekend. You can access it at olivetreeviews.org and just go to radio or oneplace.com. Find Understanding the Times Radio, or you can call and get a couple of CDs of these hours. A couple of things that I did want to clarify right up front. I want to say that Pastor Bill Johnson actually left the Assemblies of God in 2006. Also wanted to reemphasize that New Apostolic Reformation is known by some other names. I did refer to them last week. Realize there are new listeners this week. You may have heard the terms Latter Rain, Joel's Army, Third Wave. That would all be references to the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation. The term Dominionism, which is actually a theology that the church will make the world perfect and then only can Jesus Christ return. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to engage in discussion with Jill and Eric. Jill and Eric, thank you for coming into the studio. And Eric and Jillian, you've heard some of the clips that we played in particularly part one of this program. You heard the reference there to the Kundalini spirit. Let me ask you about it. Some call this Christian Hinduism. This is incredibly troubling. It's kind of go back to our Christian tarot cards that we talked about a couple of months ago. Jill, help me understand what Kundalini is. Then I want to ask Eric how it got into the church.
Kundalini is actually focused on the concept of dharma in Hinduism, and that refers to energy. So they're actually calling forth this energy. The image used is a serpent that twines itself around your spine, going through each individual chakra or energy point, which is, of course, imaginary in our spine, and pulling out energy. Well, we know where that energy comes from because God has nothing to do with it.
Right. But Eric, is this just some kind of new agey type thing? Or, I mean, this is truly demonic. Am I right?
Yeah, and a lot of the New Age philosophies and practices come right out of Hinduism, so this would be nothing new that this kind of thing would be transferred into a Western context. But oftentimes yoga is used to try to attain this demonic power or force, and those who are in that kind of thing don't realize what they've gotten into. But in Christianity, Kundalini really attempts to infiltrate when adherents confuse the power of the Holy Spirit with what is really going on. And these demonic spirits are often conferred to others through the laying on of hands. And boy, is that a whole nother topic.
Yeah, it is. Right. But it's this Kundalini spirit when we see these heavily young people kind of jerking and writhing. You can see these in videos about Bethel Church in Redding, California, which has sort of been the focus of our discussion here now for 2 weeks. And it's this jerking, this writhing that is being called a Kundalini type spirit or a Kundalini type experience. Am I right?
You're right. And, you know, we don't take any pleasure in talking about this. We wish we weren't having to. This is, I hate gotcha apologetics, if you know what I mean, when people just want to get somebody. And that's not what this is all about. But we're concerned. We believe, and I'll speak for all of us, because I know that all of us believe that God moves in and still moves today. And sometimes he may do something unusual. But if we don't understand how to test and to use the scripture first and foremost above any man's teaching, then we're in trouble, and eventually, at some point, it will get us.
Okay. I'd like to play a quick soundbite. This is actually of Carol Matriciana. It's 2-3 years ago, and that's an interview, Eric, that you and I did of Carol on Understanding the Times Radio. Before she passed away, she was very involved in exposing a lot of deception in the church type issues. And here she's going to, and she was raised in India, and here she's going to say concerns this Kundalini and related matters. She saw all this growing up in the Hindu culture.
Yes, well, Reading is one of the hot spots, one of the recruiting centers of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And there again, Bill Johnson is a pastor of that, and people would say, well, what's wrong with that? You know, the people have come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the question to ask is, what Jesus are they having a relationship with? Yes, they definitely are having experiences. Yes, there is no doubt about it. But these are Gnostic, mystical experiences. Experiences that I saw growing up in India in the guru movements, when you are contacting demons, which the Bible warns us about not getting involved with doctrines of demons. So this is experiential. Yes. These kids, adults, members, devotees, whatever one wants to call them, are giving up their minds to an experience, passing through the fire. There's all sorts of things that you'll see in Volume 3, actual footage of them going through these tunnels of fires, being touched, having hands laid on them by people, even though they believe they're filled with the Holy Spirit. So here again, as Eric said right at the beginning of the show, we have to know discernment. And the only way we're going to know discernment is to get back to, what do the scriptures say about the behavior of the Holy Spirit? He is a gentleman. He is not, you know, he's a person, that his revelations, his manifestations are truth, not confusion, their life, not death, their love, not hatred, humility, not pride. And these are some of the things that we see in the puffed up leaders of the NAR movement.
Jill, your thoughts?
You know, and what she is saying is reflected in other things people are going through today. Renee Rowland, who was a former Reiki master and an occultist, she was very involved in Hollywood. And when we were getting ready for this program, I was watching some of her videos, and she says that this signs and wonders is exactly what Carol says. These signs and wonders are demonic and straight from hell, in her opinion. She says the ticks that you see when you look at Bethel Reading videos, the strange laughter, all these things are things that she experienced during her time deep into the occult. So you really have to take a look at where this is coming from. Take a look at the doctrine. Jan, you know, the root of this is doctrine. If you go back and you look at Bill Johnson and his doctrine, there's a big problem there. And that's why we have to question these things and say, where is this coming from?
I'd like to consider some tenets of the New Apostolic Reformation, also known as the NAR. I'd like the three of us to discuss some of these. I'm going back. A few comments are repetitious from last weekend. We have new listeners and may not even be able to follow us real carefully because this is all new to you. Again, this is a two-part series trying to expose what's known as the NAR, or New Apostolic Reformation. There are many, many participants in it. This series has attempted to look at one specific destination, that would be Bethel Church in Redding, California. We spent 1 1/3 programs talking to Dirk and Joan Miller, who literally lost a daughter. She's still estranged from them because she got involved, very involved, just about gave up her life for Bethel Church in Redding, California. And she was programmed with Sozo Counseling, memory regression, and she claims to remember that her parents abused her, which never happened. Let me go back. C. Peter Wagner came up with the name about 20 years ago. He's out of Fuller Seminary, and he said in 1998, I needed a name. For a couple of years, I experimented with post-denominationalism. The name I have settled on for the movement is the New Apostolic Reformation. Again, there are many within the NAR, including some who deny it exists. Michael Brown says it doesn't exist. Even Pastor Bill Johnson from Bethel Church says it doesn't exist. They deny that the New Apostolic Reformation exists. Christianity Today, quickly, they just say that this movement will emphasize the supernatural presence through signs and wonders, perhaps signs and wonders, dreams and visions, even more than the Bible. In other words, the extra-biblical may be more important than the Bible. Eric and Jill, I want to talk for a moment about some of the extra-biblical. And I also, Eric, I want to ask you, because, and I've heard Bill Johnson say that everyone can be healed. I think this is really out of bounds, and I think you would agree with me.
Yeah, I would. I mean, the healing is available through what Christ did. He took the stripes on his back when he died and of course, rose from the grave. He gave us, you know, the ability to be saved and so on. And You know, when you start talking about healing, you wish for this the best. And the three of us have all prayed for one another at one time or another during our relationship that God would touch us, would heal us, would do something marvelous. And I know I've prayed for my wife the same way for some of the things that have gone on in her life. But, you know, it's in God's hands at the end. And there is a lot of things when Bill Johnson demotes Jesus to a place where he says that he was not divine during a portion of his earthly life. I think that is just to try to incorporate the idea. You see, everybody can do what he did because he laid down his divinity, and now you can do the same thing. You can be just like that, and it's almost an endorsement of that. Anybody can be fooled, too, and I'll stop with my comments. I've got to be careful here, but the whole NAR thing, the Emergent Church doesn't call itself Emergent anymore. They have gone away from that, so you can expect the NAR term or phrase to go away, and people get deceived easily. Johanna Michelson would be a great example.
Beautiful Side of Evil.
Someone we all know, and you've interviewed Jan, and I know personally, and she was totally convinced that what was going on in Mexico was of God, but yet it wasn't.
Let me quickly insert, I believe in healing. I was healed in the year 2000. I was healed from a 21-year ordeal that was almost unspeakable. I had given up, and finally God stepped in and healed me. We are not bashing healing, but when a pastor comes out and says, everyone should be healed. Everyone. Okay, let me move on here quickly. We got so much to cover in such a short time. I want to talk again, extra biblical, because this seems to be what the NAR hangs on to. Anything from the glory clouds to the gold dust, the angel feathers, the gems appearing in pockets. Again, the holy laughter, the drunk in the spirit. Much of this is extra biblical. And Jill, I'm not sure that there is any form of sanctified being drunk in the spirit, because this is offensive, it's mystical, and it's just plain strange, but they would say it's sanctifying.
Well, you know, we always quote Timothy here, right? Rightly handling the word of truth.
Mm-hmm.
These are classic examples of not handling the word of truth correctly. And God does not do these things. He is not a God of confusion.
Exactly.
He is a God of order. And if you look at the Bible, all of the Bible, not just a select sentence that you prefer, but if you look at all of the Bible, you will see that all the way through, God is a God of order. So right there, you know there's something wrong. And then when you look at the false doctrine that's being taught, that Jesus put aside his divinity, I think the quote here from Bill Johnson is, quote, he performed miracles, wonders, and signs as a man in right relationship to God, not as God.
Wow.
That is, to me, a big red flag there, all right? And when you see that coming from the head of Bethel Redding, then you better sit down and start examining your scriptures, rightly interpreting the word of truth to protect yourself and to protect your family.
Exactly. That whole thing was debunked by the early church. That is an ancient heresy.
It is. You're exactly right. Yep.
Okay. More tenets of the NAR. There are new apostles on the earth today, anointed by the laying on of hands to represent and speak for God on earth. Apparently, they are equal to the apostles of the Bible, and since these new apostles are commissioned by God, their authority may not be questioned. I do have some trouble with that. Eric, your thoughts?
That would be equal to saying that one of these apostles then can kick someone in the face at an altar call.
We're going there.
This is what we get when someone claims that they cannot be questioned. I think everything that's taught in the name of God should be put to the test.
Yes.
And I've told people, look, don't believe me. Go to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Don't believe what I'm saying. I could be wrong. I could make a mistake. I may have to retract someplace along the line. I've been wrong.
And this has been historically disproven, too.
Exactly. But the point is, take it all to the scriptures. It's when somebody tries to say, but I want to go back to the ancient mystics, for example, the whole labyrinth idea. Well, I'll tell them, no, let's not stop at the 15th century. Go back to the first century. Let's see if Paul advocated it, or if it was advocated by the early church in the book of Acts, or even after the book of Acts finished and the early church began. I mean, it's not there, and that's the point.
You're listening to Understanding Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. We are concluding part two of a two-part series, again, on NAR, New Apostolic Reformation. And I have Jill Martin Rishi in the studio with me, Eric Barger. And Jill, as many of you know, is a daughter of Dr. Walter Martin. And Eric, you hear him as well, both of them frequently. And you just kind of triggered a little thing in my mind here, Eric, because I want to play a clip. And let me just say momentarily here who Todd Bentley is. Todd Bentley is a member of the New Apostolic Reformation. He carried on with his rather, well, unbelievable Lakeland so-called revival. This is a few years ago now. All the time he was having this revival, he was having an affair, an adulterous affair, and yet the NAR reinstalled him as one of their apostles and prophets and healing evangelists. But I just want you to hear the things that Todd Bentley stands for, and I'm going to play just a one-minute clip of him.
And I'm thinking, God, why is not the power of God moving? He said, because you haven't kicked that woman in the face. And there's this older lady worshiping right in front of the platform. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. The gift of faith came on me. He said, kick her in the face with your biker boot. I inched closer and I went like this. And just as my boot made contact with her nose, she fell under the power of God. Now, I was in another meeting one time, and I called out this Chinese gentleman. And all of a sudden, I went running down the aisle, and I hit this guy so hard, it drove him back several feet. He hit the ground, and his tooth popped right out of his mouth.
But the miracles that have been happening here, it have been some of the most notable, Patricia, miracles that I've seen, you know, honestly, in all the years that we've done things together and been around the world.
No, the most notable kind of bizarre behavior is what was going on. Joel, I'm sure you recall the Florida Lakeland revival, so-called revival. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this directly goes against what Jesus said. Love one another as I have loved you. The love of Jesus does not call you to kick an older woman in the face. So right there you have the contradiction, and it's evil. Yeah. This is evil. And you see a lot of the same things like we talked about before going on in the Hindu world. Laughter, yoga, you know, they have that, and they say you should force yourself to laugh. And their motto is fake it till you make it. And that's exactly what we have going on in Bethel Reading. And this evil that is being combined with it, it's just absolutely disgusting and anti-biblical.
Let's move on here. Let's just discuss briefly here the so-called Seven Mountain Mandate, because this is a major tenet of New Apostolic Reformation. Those who follow the Seven Mountain Mandate believe that in order for Jesus Christ to return to earth, the church must take control of the seven major spheres of influence in society for the glory of Jesus Christ. Once the world has been made subject to the kingdom of God, Jesus will return and rule the world. This is dominionism. And here are the seven mountains, according to the Seven Mountain Mandate: education, religion, family, business, government and military, arts and entertainment, and the media. So these seven sectors of society are thought to mold the way everyone thinks and behaves. So to tackle societal change, these seven mountains must be transformed. The Seven Mountain Mandate has its root in dominion theology, and that goes back to taking dominion of the earth. But that is a twisting, terrible twisting of Genesis 1:28 to include a mandate for Christians to control the world. Well, that's really a mandate for Christians to control the animal world, etc. So, Jill, your thoughts on this?
Well, Solomon said there is nothing new under the sun, and this whole dominionism concept and teaching is not new. In fact, those of you out there who are listening, some of you may recognize the name George Mueller, great man of God in Bristol, England, with his orphanages. And he was dealing with this back in the 1830s, 40s, 50s, this same type of belief that we had to make the world somehow come under our dominion, or the dominion of the power of God, before he could come back, before he even had the ability to come back, contradicting his power and authority. So this is nothing new, and it goes back even further than that to the 17th century.
This is like the New Age movement and the paradigm shift, really what it comes back to, and puts us in sort of a co-reality redemptive position with Christ.
I want to quickly insert here, and I did this in program number one as well, that you know, this may sound like an attack on everybody in a certain stream within the church, perhaps all Pentecostals. It is not. Jill, you happen to go to an Assembly of God church.
Mm-hmm.
They go along with this?
No. They do not.
Yeah.
So this is a segment mm-hmm. of quote-unquote Pentecostalism. It's a far extreme segment yeah. of it. And I do not believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Eric, I think you would agree with that as well.
Absolutely. I think we all do. God still heals, saves, and delivers. And he mm-hmm. hasn't changed. And
right.
those who try to push the idea that God doesn't do those things anymore are frankly as guilty as some of the people in the NAR because they have to twist the scripture to get there.
Again, we're talking about some of the extremist behavior, extremist theology. We have ministry followers in Redding, California. I've been in touch with them. They have some neighbors who are part of Bethel Church, and apparently the neighbors of our contact out there invited the individuals I'm speaking of to join them, to accompany them to a cemetery to help raise the dead. So again, this is extremist behavior. But here's the thing, Eric and Jill, is it's spreading like wildfire around the world. That is actually one of the wishes of Bill Johnson, is that it would spread absolutely like wildfire around the world. I played a clip of him saying that. So it's not like this is confined to a small area of geography. This is a worldwide effort, and we're talking about, and again, and we referred to it in last week's soundbite clips, grave soaking or sucking. It's known either both as grave soaking or grave sucking when people lay on the graves of dead saints and try to have the spirit of their body come into them. We talked about a clip of Benny Johnson, that's the wife of Bill Johnson, actually. There's a picture of her online laying on the grave of C.S. Lewis, trying to get his spirit to come into her. So again, this is extreme behavior, but it's extreme behavior that's, again, I just said, it's going around the world.
Once you depart from the scriptures and take experience as your measure,
mm-hmm.
you are in big trouble. You open mm-hmm. the door up to just about anything. I was researching Bethel's supernatural school they have of the Bible, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and there is someone who is very much not a critic of them. And he was writing saying it's a spiritual, theological free-for-all out there in their school and in their church. And even he was upset, and he supports them. So this is something, once we get away from the Word of God, mm-hmm. we fall into that pit of false theology. Once you're into false theology, it opens the door to everything else. And you know what, Jan? I think what we have to do is go back once again to the scripture, Romans 16:17. I know that you're going to get criticized for yes. doing what you're doing here, for standing up and saying these things are wrong. But what we are doing here, what you are doing here, is following scripture, Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have mm-hmm. learned, and avoid them. End
Good.
Quote.
Let's consider here for a few minutes. Let's give some caution to some parents and some pastors. Let's say intervene before a catastrophe like this happens, as we've just heard for 2 weeks here. What might be some things they could watch for? Eric, you go ahead.
It's always easier to teach the truth to somebody first than try to extract the error later. The problem is people will believe the experience over the teaching of Scripture if we're not careful. And even people who claim to believe the Bible, we see this happening. So I say we begin early by teaching the kids, teaching our teenagers, by expressing to them the need to test everything. And that's not to be paranoid in any way. And this is not what this program is all about. It's to get us back to testing everything, no matter how much we might like a particular teacher or how much they may claim to be Christians or being accepted by other Christians as a great, powerful teacher.
Jill, your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, my heart goes out to Dirk and Joan.
Yeah.
I cannot even imagine, as a parent,
I can't
imagine anything so painful. And, mm-hmm. you know, it just reminds me of something that I learned later on as my children got older, which is we think when we have them, when they're younger, that that's when they need us the most. But I found that as they get older, they need us even more.
Mm-hmm.
And in different ways. And so what Dirk and Joan have gone through, you know, God is using for good. He says he will bring good out of terrible pain. And they warn us. They say, watch for things like, is God's grace being replaced here in these teachings? Are they telling us that Jesus was someone he was not, or that he laid aside his divinity? Are they attacking the person of Jesus? Do men lift themselves up over Jesus? These kinds of things are key to protecting your family. And you can tell as parents and grandparents, those of you who are close to your grandchildren, you can tell when there's something wrong or they're being influenced. And that comes under Proverbs 6:24. Dirk and Joan warn us, and they say, do not listen to the flatterer. Warn your family. Look for that, and do not listen to people who are flattering. If you think someone is flattering your child or emotionally influencing them, find out who it is, and then you're going to need to pray about confronting it.
Yes, Dirk actually writes, families should do and watch for. If talk about the need for boundaries begins, ask, where would we be if Christ said to his father, I need some boundaries, rather than had said to them, I will go to serve them. If your young person is determined to go somewhere you don't have peace about, go with them. I think he's referring about when they kind of lost Caitlin to Bethel Church in Redding, California. And again, folks, let me give that email. If you'd like to talk to the Millers about all of this, they've set up a special email for you. Write it down, please. I'll give it one more time here. It's joel3.16b@outlook.com. I'm going to give that a couple of times. You got to have the B in there. joel3.16b@outlook.com. You can talk to them about their experience, your experience. They're there to serve you. That's why they were willing to come on two programs here, and with their heart-wrenching story of losing Caitlin to Bethel Church, Redding, California. In spite of all the attempts, many, many family members went out there to try to rescue her. It was not possible. Okay, Jill, why don't you sum up?
We are dealing here with a false teaching, many false teachings that seduce or pull in people who were not firmly rooted in the Word of God. That is what we need. We need to be firmly rooted in the Word of God in order to answer, in order to deal with these things that are twisted. Kundalini spirit, things like that, these are not of God. There's not anything of that in the Bible at all. So again, moving on to Bill Johnson, you have him saying that Jesus laid aside his deity. Nope, he did not do that. There you have it. You have error. When you see strange things coming into the church, like laughter, the same as in laughter yoga, fake it till you make it. I mean, these are things that should be huge red flags to us, and we should mark those who cause divisions and avoid them.
You know, when these people make statements such as, you know, don't listen to the discerners, the apologists are naysayers, they're throwing water on the Holy Spirit trying to stop him, that to me is a sign that we need to test even deeper when somebody makes those statements, because they would rather you not go to the scriptures, which is all we're asking people to do, to discern what truth is. And I hope that that's what people can take away from this program, that there are all kinds of horror stories such as the one that the parents have told last week and part of this week. But the key is, let's take everything to the scripture. When somebody claims to be a spokesman from God, let's make sure.
All right, let me just go out of the program saying here that this truly has been a tough couple of weeks here. This ministry, we're going to be called a critical, pharisaical, we're going to be called judgmental, when we're just trying to be watchmen and sound a warning based on Ezekiel 33:6. Most in the New Apostolic Reformation, I believe they love God, but their focus has gone off of the Word of God for the experiential, and lives are being hurt. Caitlin was a very normal, talented young woman who is right now missing in action, estranged from her family. She was caught up in cult-like activity. Pray for her and millions more who are searching for the truth in all the wrong places. God loves all of those who are deceived and is calling them back to the truth and away from the wolves who are devouring the sheep. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week. Olive Tree Ministries is carrying a new product to help you contend for the faith and understand the times. It is Terry James' new book, Deceivers, Exposing Evil Seducers and Their Last Days Deception. Our generation is characterized by deceiving tactics in the church, the media, the schoolroom, the government, the globalist agenda, and much, much more. I have contributed a chapter in the book talking about the deception that has invaded the church in the last 30 years. Find the book in our web store at olivetreeviews.org. The hardbound 320-page reference book is $19 plus shipping. You can call us to order at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. It is also featured in our print and e-newsletter. Sign up online. Don't let the deceivers fool you or those you care about. Many are falling for these deceptions and delusions of our day. Stay in tune and up to date. Order Deceivers today.
We are a moment. Thank you for listening to this edition of Understanding the Times Radio. This is one of the most listened to weekend radio programs in America today. As you listen week by week, you can see why people tune in to hear the latest from Jan Markell. We trust we're helping you understand the times and to find hope in Jesus Christ.
Reigning on high.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it cost us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also welcome at olivetreeviews.org. Or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.